Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I've got a message today. I want to just break this down a little bit. And I'm not going to take too long because we have another special thing that we're doing after the service. But also, I want to get this point across. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10. And the title of this message, if you want to title it at all, is called Keeping It Together. Keeping It Together. And just this past week, I was just in an MA, a master's intensive, and it was intense, where every single day from Saturday through Saturday, we were meeting together. There was a group of us in our particular stream. There was 12 of us, two professors, and we were looking at biblical holiness, holiness from a biblical perspective. And I had to give a seminar. I had to do a three-hour seminar to the group, and it had to be prepared, footnoted, you know, all that stuff as you do it at an MA level. And mine was about perfection and sanctification in the book of Hebrews, which is deep. And so that's why I want to come from this position here in the book of Hebrews. And one thing I love about church is that it's so diverse. Amen. Whenever you come to Victory Outreach, this is a diverse church. I mean, you've only got to look around, man. There's all different nations represented. I think we had a count up once, and we had 32 different nationalities that were a part of Victory Outreach Manchester. And we're multi-generational as well. Even now, you're hearing singing coming from the kids' gang, where our young children are there singing and worshiping the Lord. And then also over there in the hotel, we have 50 or 60 of our new gen teenagers that are having their own service next door in the hotel. They do their thing, and some of the young adults go and they teach them and train them. And then we have our homes represented, people that have come from hard lives, you know, dragged up, brought up, you know, from the streets, etc., had hard, broken lives. But also this church, don't you love our worship team? Oh, just that side. What about this side? Do you like the worship team? I think they're amazing. And we have people there that have graduated from our homes, our recovery homes, but also they've got more degrees than a thermometer. You were being led in worship by an earned doctorate, Dr. Jemima, praise the Lord, of her PhD. We have medical professionals. Dr. Esther was there. Amen. We had Johnny T, who used to be a pharmaceutical salesman. Amen. In his BC days. But praise God, man. This encourages me. We have different ages, right? We have some old people. Praise the Lord. But you would never look at it. When you look around, it doesn't look like there's this group and that group and everyone's different, because everyone comes together and shares certain things. And the sharing of stuff, it rubs off on you. Because I'm not doing too bad for 70 years old. Amen. Right? You know I'm not 70. But I don't look bad for my age. And the reason why I look so young is because I'm around some of you. And you look young, man. You keep me young. My wife keeps me young. Amen. And then also the diversity of economic backgrounds. We have some people that ain't got no money. We've got some people that got more money than they should have. But everyone comes together and makes this beautiful thing called the church. In Hebrews, though, it says in chapter 10, I'm going to read it out from verse 23 through 25. And there's a reason. This goes in with the title, Keeping It Together. And then I'm going to give us a little bit of background. But the writer to the Hebrews, who no one knows who he was. People have put up all different types of, you know, could it be this person? Could it be that person? God knows who wrote this letter. But he said, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Hold tight. You might need to hold tight to your hope. Hold tight to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Can someone say thank you, Jesus? Then he says this. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. This is important. And then he says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. This is the New Living Translation. In the NIV, it says, let us not neglect meeting together as is your habit. Some people fall into the habit of not turning up. Habits form over time. And then he says, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. He's talking about Jesus coming back for his bride. Now, background to this is really interesting because it's a letter that was written to people that have come from a Jewish background. They were Jews. They fulfilled the law. They followed the law, possibly living in Rome, which meant that they were outside of their environment, their natural environment as a people, and they were in a new empire, the Roman Empire. So they were this fringe group right there in Rome that had gone from being Jews to being Christians. So a lot of the things that they used to know and they used to do, all of a sudden they weren't doing it anymore. And then, have you ever felt a little bit like you're a fish out of water? You know, when you get saved, is there anyone saved in the house? You get saved and you come out of whatever environment it was, and all of a sudden, you can still be in that environment, but there's something different about you. And people start to recognize it. For some of you, you stop cursing. Stop drinking. Stop getting drunk. Stop going out to a club. I remember when I became a Christian on a Wednesday night in July 1995. And then on Christmas Eve of that same year, I was going to a church service on Christmas Eve. Because when I got saved, I got saved. Amen. And I knew that I needed to be around church. And I went to church on Christmas Eve, and I was getting ready to go to church, and my dad was there. My dad's a real man, a man's man, professional man, sportsman, tough man. He said to me, where are you going tonight, son? I said, I'm going to church, Dad. He said, what's that? New type of club? I said, no, it's a church, Dad. He thought, oh, I thought that was like a new pub or something, the church or a new club. I said, no, it's church. Because there was something different. Are you with me? He thought I was going to be going to a club because that was where I would have been going on a Christmas Eve or a New Year's Eve. Is anyone else brave enough to lift up your hand and say that's where you used to be? Come on now. But instead of going to a place where it was like, whatever your background was, you know, whether it was a rave or whether it was the blues. Come on now. Yeah, man. Wherever it was, huh? Or wherever wherever it was. All of a sudden, you're not doing that anymore, and people are looking at you. There's a difference. That's what these people had found themselves in. They'd found themselves in this place where no longer were they accepted by the Jews, but also they didn't fit into the Roman Empire either. They were this group of people that were unique. Some of you know, if you're a Christian, you're unique. They had this unique place in the world that they lived in. But pressures came, temptations came. And a lot of commentators believe that this letter was written at a time when it was before the old temple in Jerusalem, the second temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. There were still Jewish practices taking place. But it was also a time when Nero, who was the emperor of Rome, was looking for a scapegoat because he was a lunatic and he wanted to burn down, he wanted to get rid of some stuff in Rome so that he could create his own thing, and he burned it down and he blamed the Christians. So all of a sudden, not only are you different, but you're being persecuted. Come on now. Now, I don't know about you and where it is that you are in your faith, but being different is normally the thing that we face in this Western world. And people say, you're different, you're weird, what's the matter with you? You know, you're a Christian, why are you doing that? But being persecuted adds a whole nother pressure to the mix. But here they were, and the pressure was, and it still is, to just go back to living an easy life where you fit in and no one else can see anything is different. Are you with me? Don't stand out. Don't stick out. Don't be unique. Just be the same. And so he was writing this letter to remind them of who they were. He's saying, remember who you are and live like it. Remember, the sacrifice of Christ has perfected everything. Therefore, you don't need to go back to your old practices. Therefore, you can be all right. It's okay. There's something good for you. And don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what's going on. There's a promise for you in the future as well. So that's kind of the background. But the problem is, the problem they face and the pressure, and it's even the same today, is that sometimes it gets to the point where we can start getting a little bit loose and getting a little bit lax in the way that we live in Christ. I think we can all agree that things tend to break down or decay when they're left alone for too long. I'm almost 50 and my six pack is coming back. Six pack's making a comeback. Huh? Can you rap that? Six pack. There was a rapper called Tupac, which is what I've got at the moment. Amen. I have a two pack, but I'm going to become a six pack. Huh? But I used to be as fit as a butcher's dog. How many of you used to be able to eat what you wanted and not put on any weight? How many of you could get back in the gym and just start up where you left off? How many of you could run even though you hadn't run for a while and really not get out of breath? Do you remember being young? But when you leave it alone, if I went back to the gym now and I started trying to act as I used to when I was 25, I'm going to be crippled for a week. I'm just saying, right? Because things left to themselves, they don't get better, do they? Hello? Imagine never brushing your hair or braiding your hair or, you know what I mean, doing whatever. There is something in science called the second law of thermodynamics, and it describes basic principles that are familiar in everyday life. And it's the study, technically, the study of heat power. It's a branch of physics which studies the efficiency of energy transfer and exchange. And it's partially, commentators will say, and people that are really good at this, and I'm reading from that because obviously I'm not a scientist. It's partially a universal law of decay. The ultimate cause of why everything ultimately falls apart and disintegrates over time. And what it shows is that material things are not eternal. Woo! Sometimes we think that when we get this or we get that, then it's going to last forever. Sometimes when we have this or we have that or we get here or we get there, things are going to last forever. But this is almost describing walking up a down escalator. How many of you ever tried to do that? Oh, this ain't, what's the matter with you? How many of you have ever, come on. Let me see your hands, you've done this. How many of you have been stupid enough to do this? I was going to say brave enough, but stupid enough to try and run up a down escalator. Huh? Next time you go to the Trafford Centre, I dare you to do it. I dare you. Huh? And when you're going up the down escalator, the escalator's coming down, and as long as you're pressing in and you're exerting a little bit of energy in the right direction, you might make it to the top. But if you stop and leave it alone, then what's going to happen? You're not going to stay where you're at. So these things, material things, are not constant. You know, that has a natural and a spiritual application. These things that we think of and that we hold on to and that we park our lives behind are not constant. You ain't going to be good looking forever. Things ain't going to stay in the same place. Come on now. Some things are going to droop and drop. Your eyes, your ears. How many of you know old men have really big ears? Have you noticed that? Big ears, man, huge ears. Huh? Everything appears to change eventually and chaos increases. Nothing stays as fresh as when you buy it. Hello? Come on now. Clothes become faded. How many of you have a favorite pair of jeans? Huh? And then one day you just can't patch them jeans no more. Right? And you have to try, and you never find them jeans again. You can never find them jeans again. I've even bought the same style, same brand, same make, same name on it, same size, and try to put them on, and they don't look the same. They wear out. Things wear out. Things fade. You know, you take things to the cleaners too much, they get shiny. Come on now. You wash things too much, they fade. And ultimately, everything's going to return to dust. In fact, everything ages and wears out. And this law of thermodynamics is about energy and how it runs out. But I've also seen this, or something like this, working in the life of church and in the lives of Christians. And it comes through a combination of things, but one of the main things is this Western mentality of isolation and individualism. We're kind of taught, right? We're kind of expected to live isolated. I don't know about you, but I'm a white guy, obviously, but I come from the East End of London, and I come from a place that is in a Western society, but I come from a place where it was a community. When I was a little kid, we had a community. You'd leave your doors open, you know, people would be in and out your house. Burglars wouldn't dare come around our neighborhood, even though most of the people around there were criminals. But people wouldn't come in to do it. There was community. Everyone looked out for each other. You know, if I was messing around and I was playing knockdown ginger or I kicked my ball and it hit someone's window, then that person, even though they weren't my family, was able to come out and clip me around the ear hole. In Far Eastern societies, you know, in the Philippines, in Malaysia, in China, in different places, everyone lives on top of each other. Everyone can come and go. Are you with me? In African societies, there's that famous expression, it is a village that brings up a child. Right? Amen? Amen? Am I in the right place? Huh? But we seem to be in a place and time now where everything becomes individualized. So we don't even know our neighbors to the left and to the right. We don't fellowship with them. Or maybe you know the neighbor directly to the left or directly to the right of your house, but the neighbor down the street, you don't know them. Are you with me? You don't know the people. Everything's individualized. Everything is about I, me, and my. And even in Christianity, people individualize and personalize their faith. They privatize everything. Well, it's just about me and Jesus, isn't it? But that ain't even biblical. That's not biblical. That's not how you get blessed. Are you with me? And that's definitely not how you become a blessing. People can fall into this trap and the habit of staying away from the very place and people that God calls his own, the church. Real church, you have to understand, is it's not just a place you come to, it's also the people you connect with in that place. But it's not either or, it's both. You have to have a place that you gather, and there has to be a people that gather in that place. But also, it's not limited to that place. But the church then goes out to make a place in the space wherever they live. But some people make it either or. It's either, well, I'm a Christian, I don't need to come to church. Or, I do my Christian stuff when I'm in the church. But then when I'm not in the church, you would never know I was a Christian. So some Christians, you don't even see them in church. And some Christians, you wouldn't recognize them out of church. But what does God want? God wants us to be present in his presence, but he also wants to be present in a place where they need his presence. He wants us to come, and he wants us to gather, and he wants us to get around each other and connect with him and his people, and then he wants us to take that out into the world around us. See, life makes sense when you're connected to God. Life also takes on a new quality when you're connected to other people who share your interests and outlooks. Huh? All of us need other people in order to be well and thrive. Are you with me? Whether you like it or not, you need other people. How many of you need other people? How many of you can, you got a toothache, you can fix your own tooth? Even dentists don't fix their own teeth, do they? Are you with me? Or imagine being a surgeon and operating on your own appendix. You wouldn't do that. Even top surgeons wouldn't operate on their own brain. They get someone else to do it. So we all need people. But this temptation and this trap of isolation and individualization of stuff is not beneficial to anyone. Can someone say amen? Amen. If we're honest, it actually makes us feel better by being around other people. I've always been an introvert growing up. I know some people say, well, I can't believe you're an introvert. You know, you joke, you do this, you preach. How can you be an introvert? Introversion and extroversion has nothing to do with your personality. It has to do where you draw your core strength. You know, introverts draw their strength from solitude. Extroverts draw their strength from the multitude. They get their energy from the multitude. My wife's an extrovert. You get her on her own, her battery starts running dry. She's like, oh, God. She's looking out the window. She sits up the window, looking out the window, just trying to get people's attention outside, walking past. She's like, whereas me, on the other hand, as an introvert, I kind of like being on my own. Are you with me? I like being on my own. I love people, but sometimes it gets to the point where I've been around people so long. Some of you might catch this. You know, when if you're an introvert, you're around people so long that eventually you start looking at them and they grow fangs. And they become like an energy vampire. They're just coming to suck away the rest of my energy. I'm going to have nothing left. I'm just going to... You feel yourself like... And you have to get away in a room on your own, sit down, and your battery starts charging. Is there anyone like that in a house? Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at them all sitting on their own. Praise the Lord. Huh? But just being around people, I can be on my own for a while to recharge my batteries, but I can't stay on my own. Because if I stay on my own, I'm just going to get depressed. Because I'm going to go so inward that I'm going to be lost inside this horrible thing called my mind. Right? Are you following me? Listen, you need people. I read a really interesting article about the benefits of connected relationships. When you have these connected relationships, you have the ability to love and be loved. To love and be loved. How many of you know it's no point just loving something and not getting nothing back? It's a two-way thing, love, right? Huh? Mutual understanding when you're around other people. Sometimes if I'm around myself too long, I don't even understand myself. Is anyone else like that? I end up disagreeing with myself. When I was a drug addict, I used to rob myself. I'd put drugs aside and I'd wake up one in the night, I'd wake up in the morning, the drugs would be gone. I'd be like, who took the drugs? It was me. I used to do it. I used to do it at night. You know, you can't be around. Then there's caring in community. And with it, you get a source of direct help in times of trouble. Sometimes you need someone else to be able to come in, see something that you haven't seen, give you a word that you couldn't bring up for yourself, show you a perspective that you didn't have yourself. Then there's the celebration of good times. Come on now. I don't know if any one of you have ever celebrated your birthday or Christmas on your own, but it's not really that nice. Are you with me? Cooking a turkey for yourself. Opening presents that you gave yourself. Congratulating yourself. But when you're around other people, that sharing of celebration is a great thing. Are you with me? Security you get when you're around other people. And then there's the diversity of ideas and influences that help us grow and learn. And then there's fun. It's fun. Some people make me laugh. Are you with me? How many of you like getting around someone that just makes you laugh? Someone who's fun. How many of you have been down and you've got around someone that's picked you up? But you don't do that in isolation. Belonging to a group or community gives us a sense of identity. It helps us understand who we are and feel a part of something larger than ourselves. And this gives a tremendous quality to life. Researchers found that people with strong social connections have less stress-related health problems. They have a lower risk of mental illness, and they have a faster recovery from trauma or illness. You've got friends, you've got family, encourage, support, and help us to live a healthy lifestyle. They help us with healthy habits. Come on now. I mean, you know, my wife helps me to have healthy habits. Get up, don't eat that. Take the bins out. But I'm tired. It's exercise. Go on, up. You know, don't eat that second bit. What's the matter with you? You'll get fat. Or she'll start ironing my shirts over a wok. Like that, to put the shape into it. And that's her way of saying, you're getting fat, son. Stop it. So we need people around us. Huh? Researchers found that people are happier when they're with other people than when they're alone. And the boost is the same for introverts and extroverts. I read a book by a guy called Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers. And he was talking about a village in Italy where all of the people lived for like ever. You know what I mean? They were all old, 100 years old and all that. And then all of those people eventually migrated to America and they kind of lived in the same area. And they did a study on them. They were all just living forever. No one got cancer. No one had heart disease. They just died. You know when you just die? When people get so old, they just die, right? They weren't dying because of something. They were dying because they just ran out of life. And they tried to work it out. Was it? They thought it was the diet, you know, the Mediterranean diet. But it wasn't, because all of the people that went to America were eating like Americans. Huge, great big portions, you know what I mean? Loads of fatty processed food, sugar and all the rest of it. It wasn't that they didn't have access to drink and alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and all that, because they were doing the same thing. So they couldn't work out what was the difference. Why were these people still living for long? And what they pinned it down to was the community. They pinned it down to the fact that they lived in community, that they would stop and say hi to their neighbors, that they would sit around and drink coffee together, that they would eat meals together, that they would invite people around, that they were a part of something bigger than themselves. And they said, the research says, that being part of a community of people that are like-minded, that have your best interests at heart, that are going to keep you in the right place, is beneficial to our lives. Don't you thank God that he knows what he's doing? Huh? They found out that happy people are more pleasant, they're more helpful, they're more sociable. And being around people makes us feel happier. And we're more fun to be around. And it creates what they call an upward spiral of happiness. And it's contagious. And they said that a psychologist by the name of James Fowler studied the data of 5,000 people over 20 years. And he found that happiness benefits other people through 3 degrees of connection. And the effects can last for up to a year. He says, we found a statistical relationship, not just between your happiness and your friend's happiness, but between your happiness and your friend's 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 happiness. Wow. And that's long lasting. But here we are. And the temptation and the pressure and the trap is to cut away from that. Get away from that. Be individual. Isolate yourself. Be on your own. Don't let anyone else in. But not only does that not benefit you, but your friends, 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 friends are not going to be benefited either. In this day and age, man, in the Western society, we're not persecuted that you're going to get your head cut off for being a Christian. Oh, you'll have atheists and humanists and different people saying nonsense, talking smack about the Bible and stuff, and, you know, saying about how Christians are all weak and stupid and all the rest of it. And God bless them, good luck to them, whatever. But really? That's nothing, is it? Imagine someone putting a gun to your head and saying, deny Christ or I'm going to shoot you. We see that in other countries, but in the West, in our society, in Manchester, in London, in different places in Europe, in the States, the temptation and the trap is to isolate, individualize. People do that when it's just about me and Jesus. No, it's not. It's not. A good church is a place where community takes place. It's a place where people can come and they can connect with God and they can connect with other people. It's a place where anyone can come and find someone to connect with if you want to. It's a place that you can come into and people can be around you and help you. And sometimes in the modern world, what we find is many of the benefits of belonging to a church can be experienced apart from church, right? We have online, since we've been doing media, we've had loads of people, you know, social media, YouTube and all that. People watch us online. They watch our services. People want to connect. But what we find is that a lot of people are either incapacitated. They can't get out. They're in a place where there's no Victory Outreach. They want to get involved with what it is we do in our vision. Or they're in a far-flung country somewhere. But then there's those that just use technology as an excuse to isolate, to stay away from, to not get involved in, to be lazy. And that has no benefit. Access to good teaching is readily available at the click of a screen or the click of a button. You can go on any type of social media and you can find someone teaching something, but how do you know if that one fits you? Do you know their background? Do you know their history? Do you know their provenance? Or are they just a good teacher with lots of lights and bells and whistles? Being present is very powerful. Fellowship with other believers can be had apart from a commitment to a local church family. Are you with me? You can text people. Huh? How many of you can remember? Some of you can't even remember before texting. Huh? We have some people in this church that can't remember a time before Facebook. Wow. I remember when my friends were flesh and blood. My 10-year-old son now plays football with his mates. I said to him, what are you doing, son? He's sitting out the back in front of a TV. He said, I'm playing football with my friends. I'm like, but you're here on your own. He said, yeah, but I've got my friends. He's got an headpiece and he's playing football on his TV screen with his friends that are sitting in their own houses, in their own rooms, playing football. Back in the day when I was young, we used to go out and have a kickabout out the streets. Come on now. Can't do that now. You can't even kick about a football on a piece of grass. There's a sign that says no games. No ball games. Are you with me? Things have changed, but what is God's will for the church? What is it that he wants for us? You can share your faith without being a church member. Some people do. They're like Lone Ranger Christians that share it on the internet and they troll different things and they blog on different stuff. But when you ask them, what church are you a part of? They haven't got one. They don't think they need one. You can have prayer meetings and Bible studies apart from the gathering of the church. Are you with me? But is that God's will? Is that what he wants? Why be bothered about church in the modern Western society that we live in? You want to know why? Ask me why. Because it's God's idea and he hasn't changed his mind. Simple as that. You want to obey God, you want to be blessed from that, and you want to be a blessing, do what he says. He builds his church, congregation of believers that gather and learn. Sometimes people want too much explanation about things. They want to cut this and moan about that and complain about that. Well, the times, you know, it's time sensitive and Sundays and it's my weekend off and, you know, I want to be with the kids. I ain't got time for this and I ain't got time for that and I ain't got time for this and I ain't got time for that. And I understand about living in a Western world and time sensitivity and all the rest of it, but when we use that as an excuse, all of a sudden we're moving away from the church and we're not being a blessing. And therefore we wonder why we're not being blessed. People question it and complain, but the Israelites under Moses did that. Things got hard, they wanted to go back. The Hebrews that we read about in Hebrews were having a tough time, so they wanted to move away. They wanted to disassociate themselves. They wanted to do something else. But community is important. I mean, if you know, if you're always on your own, who can tell you if you're ever wrong? Who can tell you if you're talking smack? Who can tell you if you're being out of order? Are you with me? There's no accountability. There's no one around you. There's no one to teach you. You teach yourself. And I don't know about you, but I could teach myself brain surgery. But would you have me operate on your brain if I had my DIY certificate? Huh? That I downloaded from the internet. Amen? So we need this. We need church. Can someone say amen? Huh? And before anyone starts thinking about blind faith and being easily led, what about just simply accepting that if God has revealed something in his word, then let's just say okay and let's do it. Read it. See what it says. This is what he wants. So that we can be prepared to live with God in community for eternity. God himself is even a community. He's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He's that community of God. So why should we be any different? There's two ways that practically we can do this. There's big gatherings. A lot of emphasis is placed on big gatherings. Big gatherings describes when we all gather together as a congregation to pray and worship God and learn about him and what he expects from us. But it's not just about that. That's important. We have big gatherings. We gather here because we're too small for this building. You know, we have two services on a Sunday morning. If everyone was to turn up, and we have people that are away. We have doctors that are on call. We have nurses that are on call. We have people that are on call from one weekend to the next. We have people that are visiting family. We have people that are taking their kids away for half term. We have all of this stuff going on. But if everyone that calls Victory Outreach Manchester their church turned up, we wouldn't have enough room in two services. We'd have to have three services, four services. So we have this, you know, we've been going and doing the thing in Salford University, Super Sunday, to get our minds and our hearts prepared. What if God wanted us to get a building that seated 1,000 people and then we only had one service, you know, for 500 or 600 people, but room to grow to 1,000? What if he did that so that we're making room for that? And I don't know about you, but when we get in there and that's Salford University, something shifts and there's a dynamic. You know, we've had people that come to Super Sunday that didn't even know they were in the same church. Because one comes to the first service and one comes to the second service. They'd never even met. Praise the Lord. Some didn't know that we had a church service going on next door. Some didn't know that we've sent missionaries out here. We have church plants going on around the place. But when we all gather together and we're all in that same place and the Spirit of God is the same for all of us, not only are you blessed, but also you can be a blessing. We've had people step up. We've had people stand up. We've had people get in places where they can use their gifts in a way that they couldn't do normally. And I don't know about you, but when you're using what it is that God gave you, man, that blesses you even more. Because when you pour out, then you get poured into afresh and anew. We have big gatherings. But you have to understand that a church gathering is not just like a parking garage where you come and just sit safely for a little bit. But it's more like a petrol station where you come and you get filled up. You sort your tires out. You have a look at your engine. You top your oil up. You clean your windscreen. But then you go out on the journey that was intended for you. And you take what it is you've received out there into the world that you're going into. That's church. This church has a mandate. Some call it a vision. And at our core is a deep desire to really know God and Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. This is made possible by believing and trusting and living for Jesus Christ. It's not just an intellectual assent. Well, maybe Jesus is who he says he is. There's an action. There's a response. There's something involved in that. There's an exchange that takes place for salvation to become a reality. But you can't just be saved and then sit there on your own. You then need to be a part of the grouping. That's God's blessing, that unity and that community. We also want to reach out and invite other people in. We don't just want to stay as this little club. How many of you know sometimes you can go a place and you don't feel welcome? Huh? Just because you're different, because no one knows you. But in here, you just come in. We want you to come in. Come in. You're welcome, man. Come in. We want you to come in. We want you to come in. But sometimes we have to understand that people that don't know Jesus ain't necessarily going to walk through the doors of a church just off their own back. So that's why we don't just have big gatherings where we're saying to people, come in, come in, come in. We need the smaller gatherings. in this church, not only do we have big gatherings, not only do we have conferences, church services where people come and join corporately in worship, but we have life groups, we have outreach groups, we have ministry groups. We want to go out, we want to reach out. We reach out to the youth in Oddsall on a Friday. We reach out to the prostitutes. We reach out to people on the streets of Manchester. But then also, we don't just want to reach out to strangers. What about your family? What about your friends? What about your neighbors? Do you know and value your salvation enough to know that without Christ there is no eternal life? Because if you do, how can you then not tell other people about that? That's like being on the Titanic and knowing where the lifeboat is and then jumping in it on your own and watching the other people drown. Huh? So we want to make sure that we not only are big, but we're little as well. That's the outflow. That's what we want. We want to be who God wants us to be, do what he wants us to do. And that takes a few key things. It takes faith. It takes obedience. It takes consistency. It takes loyalty. It takes integrity. It takes generosity. People question some of those things in church, but, well, I don't have to turn up. Say that if you're employed by the NHS. Just say that if you're employed at BMW. Just say, I don't want to come today. But you got 7 operations scheduled. Well, I can't be bothered. Sun's out. See how long that lasts. Or your job. You're a bus driver. Well, the sun's out. I don't want to come. I'm not coming to work today or next week or next or the week. You ain't going to stay in that job very long. Are you with me? But in Christianity, sometimes we're like, well, we need to flip that. We need to make sure that we're being faithful in the big and the little. We need to make sure that we're doing what it is that God has called us to do, that we're obeying what it is that he set out to obey. Not be lazy. Not be distracted. Not be isolated. Not take things individually. But be part of that community. How many times do you get in trouble around godly people? Huh? How many times do you mess up when you're alone? Keep it together. Keep it together. I'm done. That's it. How many of you think that we need to grow as Christians?
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.